Welcome to the Wisdom Coalition podcast, designed to show you how to change your mindset so you can find more joy in every aspect of your life.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets.
Joy for All Companion Pets provide joy, comfort, and interactive companionship for your aging loved ones and peace of mind for your family.
Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
Special thanks to WFMZ-TV and thank you for listening. I'm Nancy Wertheen.
And I'm Kim Howie. We invite you to experience the life-changing power of joy with us.
Well, we are stirring things up, my friend, in Voorburg in the Netherlands, Toronto, Canada, and Farsta in Sweden.
And of course, there are people listening in Orlando, Florida, Bloomfield, New Jersey, and Salem in Oregon.
I always love to just kind of check in to see where we got new listeners from week to week. All right. So I've had a broken dishwasher and I've been waiting like 2 weeks for a new dishwasher. So I'm basically doing things like making scrambled eggs and just like eating them out of the pan with a fork. Or spoon, whatever I can find that's plastic.
That is so great. And I have this visual now where I'm like, oh, you know what? That's actually not a bad idea in general. But I would say if it were me, I would be investing in an awful lot of paper plates and disposable silverware.
It's so true. But, you know, it's so funny. You know, we're not empty nesters yet, but we almost are. And we find ourselves sometimes like, oh, the kids aren't here for dinner. We're like, should we make something? And then we're like, well, there's tortilla chips and taco shells in the pantry and a little bit of leftover salsa. We're good. That's dinner.
Oh my gosh.
You're getting like lazier and lazier.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah. Well, and I keep thinking with the dishwasher, at least it's not the washing machine.
Oh my gosh, the washing machine. That would be horrible. You'd have to like invest in one of those washboards, right? And then you'd be outside scrubbing your clothes over a bucket.
No, I'd be moving. I'd be moving.
Yeah, this time of year would not be so good. You'd end up with a wicked cold.
Yes. And speaking of colds, that's kind of getting us to our subject. Yeah. Very nice, Kim. We are going to be talking today about something called invisible illnesses. We want to talk about what it is. And we have an amazing guest, a doctor who ended up finding her own cure to her own invisible illness. She is Dr. Diana Driscoll, and she's actually an optometrist, but she's also an authority on the automatic nervous system. She has turned in a number of other directions and is now clinical director of the POTS Care Clinic in Texas. And POTS stands for Postural Orthostatic Tachycardia Syndrome. And I think I got that right. Did I do that right, Dr. Driscoll?
You did a great job with a very difficult term, right?
I was trying to get through that quick.
You're so funny. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really an honor. It really is. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to talk with you. So can we just start off by what exactly are invisible diseases?
Right. It's interesting because invisible illnesses are illnesses that are, it's not very apparent what's wrong. And they can fall into categories like chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia or until they're diagnosed, some autoimmune conditions appear invisible. But POTS, what I developed, was secondary to a virus. And for many years, it looked invisible. All the testing looked normal, and hence it was classified invisible. As it turned out, they just weren't looking in the right places. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of these invisible illnesses are not really invisible. We're just not approaching them in the proper way. So patients usually suffer a great deal, a great deal of suffering. Talk about sucking the joy, you know, right out of your life, is to not just be so sick. I mean, I ended up on professional disability. Then my kids were sick. My son became disabled. But there's no validation of having a label that other people understand. And that's just a double whammy, I think, for patients.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, many of us have known people that are, they can't figure out what's wrong. I'm going to the doctor and they can't figure out what's wrong. And, you know, what's so interesting, Dr. Driscoll, is you went through a really awful situation, both you and, as you said, your members of your family, your son. Can you give us a little bit of the backstory? You know, what happened to you? And I know that you went through years of difficulty, but can you just kind of sum it up a little bit for us?
Right. Yeah, put it in a nutshell. I was in Costa Rica for a mission trip, and all of us got a virus. And so I can't blame the virus. I was the only one who didn't seem to recover from it. And I started to show some bizarre symptoms just a couple weeks afterwards, and my heart rate would go all over the place. Blood pressure was uncontrolled. My digestion started to be affected. I couldn't think. I got real tremulous, and I got hit with these waves where my heart rate would increase. I felt kind of hot, felt real panicky, and I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was suffocating. And it just kept morphing. So as months, even years went by, the symptoms continued to multiply. So I was diagnosed with POTS at about, nine months into it. And then learned, once I had that diagnosis, that no one knew what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And that was very frustrating. And then when my son became so sick, I was in clinical trials for this. I thought, they'll figure out something, right? This isn't a subtle illness. No, there were no answers. So I thought, well, I might be in position to help us get some answers. So I went ahead and set up a corporation to do studies, started to do more formalized studies, used my body quite a bit. And the answers started to emerge. It was in layers. It wasn't all at once, there's one thing wrong. It was one thing after another, after another, after another. So it took quite a few years to work through all that. And now on the other side of it, great, you know, we're helping others and pick that apart. It's real interesting, Nancy and Kim, that a lot of post-COVID patients are developing POTS. So that post-viral response, it's so abnormal, is what happened to us. It was just a different virus. So the trigger itself is less important than the body's abnormal response to it. But trying to figure out what was going on was so extraordinarily complicated and not an easy journey for anyone. Yeah.
Well, and of course, you know, POTS is an acronym, and Nancy so eloquently actually spoke it out as to what it stands for. But can you just tell us a little bit more about, you know, what exactly does that mean?
Right. And that's such a good question, Kim, because what it means is that postural orthostatic tachycardia means when a patient's posture changes and they get vertical, their heart rate increases. But that's all it means. So it says nothing about what's causing that. And whatever is causing it, you know, pick whatever that is, can cause a lot of other problems too. So as long as we approach POTS as a fast heart rate problem, we don't get anywhere. And the first thing we're told to do, of course, is to see a cardiologist because they can see the fast heart rate. But then the cardiologist review, okay, the structure of the heart's fine. Everything looks good. And they have no idea what to do except artificially slow the heart down. And that can cause problems. So that term is actually worked against patients in many ways. Some people see that as, it's just a heart problem. It's a heart rate problem. Just sit down, you'll be fine. You know? But I remember I was sick from head to toe. I was extraordinarily ill. And I said, any position, I'm sick. Can you ignore the heart and focus on other things? And they just couldn't do it. So that label, it's not a disease. It's just a presentation. And it tells us we need to dig deeply into figuring out what's causing that heart rate to go high. And that's where the tough journey is.
Just one second. I just need to thank our sponsor real quick, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets. I hope you've heard the news that you can get 15% off your very own Joy for All Companion Pets simply by putting in the coupon code WISDOM15. You know that these amazing animatronic realistic pets look and feel like real cats and dogs, and they're really designed to help lonely seniors to feel better, both emotionally and physically. Just go to joyforall.com for more information. So, Dr. Driscoll, I'm curious because when you were speaking, I did immediately start thinking about long haul COVID, and
yes.
Because I have heard of tachycardia in symptoms. So, are you finding that, as I know you have, and I'm jumping ahead a little. I know you have done. You're doing so much research. Are you finding you're having like COVID patients coming to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. We were ready for that. Mm. When COVID first hit, I thought this virus could be significant enough to trigger an abnormal inflammatory response that could drive some POTS. And the term I came up with is inflammatory POTS. We've been using that for years. So we're already very accustomed to viral triggers causing this. This is just yet another trigger. And I see these patients go through that same frustrating journey for answers. And at first, they have to make sure the heart is okay, you know, the lungs are okay. But once the doctors work through that, then they fall into that, quote, invisible illness thing, and they don't know what to do. But they're developing POTS, and they see that. And to some degree, it gives some POTS patients a little bit of validation, knowing that, okay, it's being recognized more, which is great. But yeah, we are seeing a lot of post-COVID POTS. We were prepared for it.
Well, and you actually set up a corporation, right?
That's right.
You know, really does research around this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. I'm an eye doctor, of course, and I remember thinking there's no way we can be this sick without something showing up somewhere. And I thought, let's look in the eyes. And the eyes are the only place you can look directly at blood vessels, for example. You can see the optic nerve, which is a direct extension from the brain. So it's a little peek into that central nervous system, too. And the patient's images of the back of their eyes were different from the normals. They still fell into normal parameters, but those were some clues there. The first thing, though, I peeled back was a propensity for high intracranial pressure. And that was so important to figure out. It's not everyone, but it's probably 65-70%. And you've got to address that or the patient can't recover. And that was important, but that was still a secondary problem. So digging deeper for a more primary problem was still, it took years. The next layer I figured out was that the vagus nerve, the nerve that controls heart rate, breathing, every aspect of digestion, appeared to be affected. And I wanted to figure that out. And as it turned out, it wasn't really a vagus nerve problem. It was a neurotransmitter problem and figured out a way to restore that. First prove that that was right and then restore that. And that ended up with some patents and we're still expanding on that. So I was able to release a product, ultimately Parasym Plus, to address that. And that's just been a godsend for so many. But that was missed because some neurotransmitters you can't measure with blood tests. So again, you're talking, quote, invisible, right? Not so much. They present with certain symptoms and you can see those symptoms and start to put it together. But very complex.
And that's so interesting, though. And I've read that, you know, the eyes can tell you so much about your health. And it's so interesting that you being an optometrist, you know, that you put all that together. So you're obviously doing much better now.
I'm fine. Yes,
which
thank
is awesome.
You.
So if if someone out there is having something that, you know, they feel bad and they just can't find an answer and it falls under this heading of invisible illness, what advice do you have for them? I mean, for you, it sounds like you just didn't give up and you went really, you know, into action that many lay people can't do because we're not all doctors, right? So what advice would you have?
Right. I think to suspect whether or not it's POTS, that's fairly objective, which makes it a little bit easier. There's so many reasons for conditions like chronic fatigue. You don't want to miss cancer or something, you know. But with POTS, there's very specific reasons that can drive someone to POTS. And to figure out if someone has POTS, they can lie down, rest for a few minutes, and check their heart rate. And then stand up, usually up to 10 minutes or so, and continue to watch that heart rate, and it goes up. And if that looks like it's acting up, there's the gold standard is a tilt table test where you're not standing, you're actually laying on a table at an angle, and it takes out the muscles' ability to circulate blood, and that'll definitely show it. But usually we can tell from what we call a poor man's tilt table test, just have them rest lying down and stand up. Heart rate jumps up. That's abnormal. And that's a clue that you're likely dealing with POTS.
Well, and you mentioned early on about fibromyalgia. Is that something that you also deal with, or is that sort of just it's another invisible disease?
Well, there's a fair amount of overlap, Kim, with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and POTS. And I think it's important to figure that out. I wonder how many patients with the diagnosis of fibromyalgia are dealing with POTS. And because so much of POTS patients that we see are dealing with inflammatory POTS, I'm curious how much pain fibromyalgia patients are dealing with is actually inflammatory pain. So the way to figure out, again, if they have POTS is just have them stand up. And those patients should probably be plucked out of fibromyalgia and put into POTS for a more precise diagnosis. Same thing with chronic fatigue, huge overlap. Every POTS patient develops chronic fatigue, but not all chronic fatigue patients develop POTS, and it's important to pick that apart.
Wow. So I find this fascinating, honestly. You're really, so what is your vision, you know, for the research that you're doing, for the mark that you're going to make? What is the vision and the direction that you're heading in now?
That's so great, Nancy, to be able to even approach this question, because for so long, the vision was just survival. You know, I just wanted to get from one day to the next, and just recovery from such a horrible beast of a condition was just, it's a miracle I never expected to happen. So now being able to say, okay, that's great. We're done with that journey. What is the vision for the future? It's just a dream come true. What I would like to see is some of this propensity for this abnormal inflammatory response to be based on something super objective, like genetics. So I remember thinking, if I got sick and my kids got sick, what are the chances there's no genetics involved? Wouldn't it be great to figure that out and let people know from a very young age that unless this is taken care of properly, they could get sick, or someday offer them the opportunity to change their genes, which I'm sure is coming down the road sometime. But that sort of objectivity and a label based on something objective like that is what patients need. And actually doctors need that too. We don't need to be lumped into this invisible, nobody understands, but maybe these people are nuts kind of category, which is kind of where they end up. You lose validation with that objectivity. So it's a very personal mission of mine to at least label patients appropriately with something objective so that they don't have to fight for validity, and ultimately to locate all those genes involved so they have the opportunity to know that very early on.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I know you started a new company called TJ Nutrition. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Again, another dream come true, right? I remember sitting in my kitchen trying to figure out how to work around this vagus nerve problem, acetylcholine problem, using my ancient organic chemistry knowledge. I won't even tell you how old that is. And then my study with genetics and some of what I had learned to put together some sort of compound to trigger the nerve and to replace acetylcholine for the brain. So sitting there trying to figure that out, giving it to my son, giving it to myself, allowed us to start to digest normally, to absorb nutrients again, to get cognition back, to, interestingly, to reverse our dry eyes. That was also secondary to that. All of that was important. And ultimately, at the end of that journey, I thought, I need to get this out. For others, it was so significant for us. And that nerve is the anti-inflammatory nerve of the body. So if you're fighting inflammation, say it's a genetic propensity, you better keep that nerve working. And it's been wonderful to do that. That's where TJNutrition.com is where we have Parasimplus and now Parasimplus Eyes. And the response was just amazing.
You know, it's so interesting because we talk a lot in positive psychology about benefit finding. You know, why do you have to go through something horrible? And then you look back and you see the benefit. And it's like, you know, you went through this horrible, horrible, I'm sure, experience. But now the benefit is that, you know, your findings, of course, helped you, which is great, but are helping so many other people because, you know, to be in a, sort of that cycle of not being able to get help is got to be really difficult. You must get a lot of feedback from a lot of thankful people.
it's really the best job ever to help these people. And there's a bond between patients, and I'll always be a patient. I'm just not sick. Mm. You know, I manage my propensity so well. I'm not a sick person, but there'll always be that bond. So working one-on-one with patients is really where the joy is, I will tell you. And they're so incredibly grateful. So yeah, that it's something I didn't know I would ever cross that finish line. Mm. I didn't know it'd ever be possible.
Well, it says a lot about persistence too, you know?
Yes, no kidding.
Yeah.
And I think hope, honestly, I think everybody needs to know. I know that hopeless feeling. Oh my gosh, I had it for years. But to know that there is always hope, and as sick as I got, as sick as my son got, there were answers, and it wasn't easy, but we were able still to recover. So no matter what people are going through, there is hope to bring that joy back, you know?
Oh, such a pleasure speaking with you. Can you please tell folks where they can find you, your website, your products?
Yes, that's such a great question. TJ, which is named after my kids, TJNutrition.com is where the products are. VegasNerveSupport.com will get you to the same place. I'm at PotsCare.com. Mm-hmm. And then I have a website, DrDianaDriscoll.com, where I just put everything, all the research, et cetera, because it was just so spread out. There's genetic disease investigators, too. I've got to have one spot. So we put it all there. Yeah, you can find me.
Well, you've got a lot going on. So
I know, right? Who knew?
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Kim. It's just so great to talk to you guys. I appreciate the work that you guys do, too, to help us keep our joy.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And that's all we have time for. Thanks again to our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All companion pets, providing joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to aging loved ones and peace of mind to their families. Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
And until next time, remember, stay connected to your why, fuel your core energy with joy, and live your life from the inside out.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you find some joy today.